about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. You all seem super excited. Bunch of boners in slacks. Now, if you'll bear with me, I'm gonna launch this meeting in style. Like it's a boat, a new boat.
No, oh my God!
Oh no.
Why would you do that?
You're wet, aren't you? Wet with excitement!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey guys, you know how no one should be out alone on Christmas? Well, no one should be without a bowl on 420. Yeah!
Woo! In 1970, President Richard Nixon warned radio broadcasters that rock music lyrics should be screened for content and that any music that contained drug references should be banned. Both Vice President Spiro Agnew and the Federal Communications Commission echoed his concerns. In short order, seemingly innocuous hit records became suspect. You'd be amazed that the songs were banned on radio or censored by government for perceived drug content. For example,
don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Roll another one.
He clearly doesn't like minorities.
Just like the other one.
Oh,
this one seems to be about to quit.
I'm not even gonna comment on that.
Another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And I'm about to
roll.
Change my pants.
This one seems to be about to end.
God damn it, I love pot.
I don't have another sense.
So you like show tunes? That doesn't mean you're gay. It just means you're awful.
But I don't want to guard that joint.
Do you want to cuddle for a little while?
Just pass it around.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
But I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Well, say Queensbridge, say Queensbridge.
Queensbridge, yeah.
And now.
Yeah, that's because you're 16 and you still assume the best in people. You live a few years, you start seeing the hate in people's hearts.
Our feature presentation.
Audible. Throw in. Bryant turns and comes up short.
No!
What a buzzer! What a test! Who took that bad shot just a moment ago? The Suns are shocked. They will review it. It appeared he got it off on time.
That's what I'm talking about.
What was the score?
103-101, I think.
103-101, I think.
I knew they won because of the cheer that I heard in my neighborhood.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's how I do. All right. Yeah. Oh, Lakers won.
It was pretty big time. By the way, it's been 10 years or more. But I still can't look at Marv Albert and his toupee without thinking about him biting on a woman's back.
I know, me too.
I mean, I think I like him as an announcer, and I'm always glad that he got his job back. I don't think he shouldn't have been allowed to work after that. But you don't ever forget that,
no.
Right?
No,
well, you don't
hear
he's
a lot
still
of
that guy.
You don't hear a lot of backbiting in sex,
right?
You know,
true.
Right. I don't think that's normal. Whatever normal is, it's not that. I don't think.
No, that last 25 seconds of we're talking about last night's Game 5 in the NBA Western Conference Finals. That last 25 seconds, starting from when Ron Artest decided, yeah, we've already won this game, but I'm going to give Phoenix another chance by making a shot I don't have to, all the way up until then Phoenix gets the ball, and the three-pointers in a row they shoot. The third one finally goes in, and they tie it up, Lisa, with 3.5 seconds left.
And by the way,
could have been more exciting.
The third one that went in was so lucky because it bounced off the backboard before it went in.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
but it tied it with 3.5. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. And then, you know, you do what you always do. You give it to Kobe because he's the man who makes those game-winning shots at the buzzer, and he They said he got fouled, but obviously since the game was over, they never really talked about it. But maybe he did. But for whatever reason, his shot was offline. And then Ron Artest with, I don't know, 0.1 second left was able to get the thing in the basket.
Oh.
Talk about redemption, though. How different was the locker room for Ron Artest last night?
Very.
The way the game ended versus the way it could have ended.
Very.
And then he did one of the most bizarre interviews. Did you watch his interview after the game?
I did. Is that where he said, say, Queensbridge?
Yeah. Basically what happened
is... Help me understand that.
Okay. Here's what's... Let me see if I have... I may even have the whole thing here. Here's what's happening. All right. Here you go.
First of all, talk about redemption. What were you thinking when you put up that shot when you guys had a chance to run out the clock?
Now, again, Lisa, and for folks who don't follow basketball, they didn't have to shoot the ball. All he had to do was dribble for 22 seconds, and they win the game because they're already ahead, right?
Yes.
Why put the ball in play again? Here's how Ron explained it.
Well, you know, let's play basketball. I mean, there's a point in time where I shot 40% from the three. I got to play, you know, and still try to get to the hole. You know, I hit shots before. It just didn't fall today. So that's the thing about the playoffs. You know, you keep playing, and you never know when that big game going to come. So.
Hey, not an answer, by the way. Not a good answer. Not an acceptable solution for the problem that faced you, Rod. Fortunately, the announcer does press about it.
I'm just going to continue to play, see what happens.
That's the way you keep talking about playing in the playground. But here in the NBA, there's a 24-second clock, and you could have run it out.
To play. You still got to play. Well, yeah, you could have ran it out, but you still got to play basketball. I try to, you know, break their back a little bit. You know, that's why we play defense. You know, we still just got to play basketball. You got to be able to play, you know, through all that. Do everybody saying, don't shoot. You still got to be able to focus.
Okay, yeah. The reason they're saying, don't shoot, Ron, is because you shouldn't shoot in that situation. As the announcer is saying, you're not on the playground anymore, back home at your housing project in Queensbridge, Long Island, New York, which is how he used to play basketball on the playground because you play till the end of the game on the playground.
Yeah. Yeah,
it
was like 50 seconds or something like that, and we had a fresh 24 second. We could have run it all the way down, and he just fired up a shot as fast as possible and missed.
So he, of course, is thinking about his days on the playground.
How are you getting in position for that game-winning shot after Kobe took up the long three?
Well, I seen the shot. He got fouled. I knew it was going to be able, so I just went after it. They played hard tonight. They was aggressive. They was hitting us, but it had to be a point in time where I used my body. And it worked for me, and it worked for me right there.
All right, unlike me here.
In the building, Queensbridge in the building, you already know. Now say Queensbridge.
Queensbridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Queensbridge, where they don't play with a shot clock. Thank you, Marv.
He was so happy. And he should have been.
Queensbridge. Say Queensbridge.
Yeah. Punt the guy on live TV.
You always wonder what it's like to be that guy, especially in the playoffs. When it comes down to the final second, it doesn't even matter if it's basketball, if it's hockey, you score a goal, if it's baseball, you get a base hit or a home run or whatever wins the game. The guy that wins the game has to feel amazing. That has to really be great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's living the dream right there. Yeah. That's when Ron Artest was 8 and wanted to be in the NBA, that's the video that was playing in his head, which was, I'm going to be the buzzer guy who's going to win a major championship game for my team. Yeah. Anyway, good times. 1-800-520-1067. I see we have a Laker call or two, and you can call on any topic for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew right now. Hit it, Steve.
Would love to. Steve is getting prepared.
Steve was not aware we were doing this segment that's correct, again today at this time. I see. What a
surprise. All right, you ready? Steve, go.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I think Steve's been working too late at night to be able to come in fresh in the morning is what's been going on. All right, a Billabong prize pack for you, including a pair of tickets to Billabong Design for Humanity coming up on June 10th at the Paramount Studios with live performances, including Fisher Spooner and Kid Sister. That's your prize. One quick P.S. on the basketball talk, and then we'll move on to other topics. Let's try Jonathan on line one. He's got a complaint about last night's game.
Yes, hi.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Matt, can you explain to me why the referees are so obvious against the Lakers? Look at the free throw disparity, man. We shot 2 free throws the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the refereeing was bad. But I think it was sort of bad both ways.
Why can't anybody say anything, though? I understand the fear of getting fined. But when you're that rich, you can't let these guys get away with it.
There's no win in it for a player to complain about refereeing. There's no good that comes out of that.
Well, I mean, sometimes you work referees. You know, you watch Kobe and he'll be talking throughout the game to a referee. And sometimes the coaches can, you know, kind of give them the idea that they need to
make up a call here or there.
Right.
But I thought there were a lot of fouls that weren't called, frankly, even on the Lakers. And I also thought there were a lot of fouls that were called that weren't fouls. So I don't know. I thought it was pretty bad, too, but I didn't see it only as against the Lakers.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, well, maybe it's the Laker fan in me, man. But
it could be. I
think a lot of times that's what happens. Very rarely would you complain about the refereeing if it were going, you know, against the other team.
Didn't you see a couple of times when they would come into the paint and three or four Lakers would jump up and there's no possible way they didn't foul him, and you went to your and you thought to yourself, wow, I'm glad they didn't call a foul there.
Right, but you see, like you said, a couple of times.
All right.
If you look on the Laker end, Pau Gasol at the end when he could have put it up by five. And they, that three wouldn't even have mattered.
Yeah.
He got hacked.
Yeah.
From behind by Stoudemire and not even a whistle.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, it's part of the game as long as humans are calling them, I guess. Thanks for the call. Let's move on to Mike. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the hottest video on the internet right now. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? Yeah, so did you guys see that video of that two-year-old kid smoking?
Funniest video ever.
And the funniest part about it, they said he started smoking when he was 18 months old.
Like he just picked up, he made the decision. He picked up a pack of cigarettes and a lighter and said, I think I'm going to start smoking.
His parents say that if he doesn't get cigarettes, he cries.
Maybe they shouldn't have given him those to begin with.
That's called addiction.
You know, my roommate told me about it, and I couldn't believe it. But, so, like, I looked for it, and sure enough, that little kid was smoking cigarettes.
You know what's funny about it, too, is you can tell somebody who has been smoking for a long time. Mm-hmm. They have just the general look.
Very comfortable with it.
Yeah, very comfortable. Yeah, exactly. The way they draw it in, the way mm-hmm. they blow. He was really, really a professional smoker, that kid.
Yeah.
Someone's going to take that kid away, right?
No, not in Indonesia, where they are.
Oh, it's in Indonesia. My bad.
Yeah. But, I will tell you this, fattest little kid that smokes that I've ever seen.
He's fat. You
think that smoking all the time. I don't know. I thought you lose weight when you smoke all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of fat people who smoke.
I don't understand that. If he's two, awesome
video.
He is fat. I mean, that kid weighs 75 pounds if he weighs one.
Oh, my God.
He's way fat. Let's try Karen with the other most awesome thing that happened on the internet yesterday, line five. By the way, we may have to bring Dave in a little bit later on and see if he needs counseling or if I don't know where Dave's head is, but his girlfriend got hacked last night, apparently. Hey, Karen, welcome to the show.
Uh-oh.
That sounds bad, doesn't it?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
All right, so last night I'm at work, and around between 8 and 9 o'clock, I get an alert on Twitter, and I look at it, and it says that Haley from Paramore got hacked, and when I looked at the link that was on there, it's a picture of her topless from, like, just her breast up.
Right.
And people were saying it's not her, but it's definitely her.
I think it's definitely her, too. The very first thing I did when I saw it was send it to Dave for confirmation, because no one has spent more time studying Haley's body than Dave has.
Right.
And Dave thinks it's her, too.
And then so. You right-clicked and saved to your desktop, just in case it got taken down quickly.
I have it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Although it's everywhere today. You can't miss it today, but I don't know whether she really got hacked or if it was, you know, some people were speculating that maybe she was just trying to, as so often happens, send a photo to one person and accidentally send it to everybody. I don't know what the real story is, but I like it.
I will tell you
the direction we're going.
I do too, but I will tell you this. It seems like people would start getting the idea that if you're going to take a picture that way.
Yes.
You sort of have to just guess it's going to come out
right.
in some way. You know what I mean? I don't want to discourage it from happening because it should happen. But I'm just saying, especially if you're famous, you have to know that's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
No, you're so right.
Best case scenario for us, yes.
I agree. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why don't you just leave the room? I don't need your help.
Adam Carolla will be here?
Yeah.
This Week in Rage?
He said, that's not even trying.
No. The last time you cried, guys. The last time you cried.
This is for the guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
I thought our chest had missed that shot last night, Kevin. It would have been last night for you.
Oh, man. No, I was angry. I was so mad at him. I was yelling at him so much. No! Don't shoot!
Yeah.
At least he wasn't hot, though. So he had that going for him. We are also going to do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Okay.
We are going to catch up with Spencer. We've got the movie beat. It's Friday. And we've got your Weenie Roast tickets.
Excellent.
Plus, an all-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. So, and maybe we can put the coach of the Phoenix Suns throwing up on the sideline. If we can find out, maybe we can put that in there.
He pretty threw awesome. Up?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. His stomach
during the
was
game.
So
yeah.
upset during the game, they brought him a trash can. He threw up in it and just kept going. It was awesome.
What did he have? A fried avocado salad or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross.
And they said it didn't agree with him. Oh. And yeah, they just brought him a trash can. It was sweet. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, how'd it go? How'd it go yesterday? How'd it go with the daughter at home?
The eagle has landed.
Yeah! Oh, look at that. Yeah, look at that.
We got her fun? Home. We got her home around lunchtime yesterday after all the paperwork was done, and we made a break for the door, and I said, don't look back. Keep running before they change their minds. And we got her home and spent the remainder of the day just staring at her.
I'm sure.
Just watching, making sure she was breathing and feeding her and changing her diaper. Because now, you know, it's not right. I'm not one to complain. But after the 2 months that we've had of sheer terror and panic,
right
now we have to deal with having a newborn at home, which is what most parents just have to do. It's high pressure enough. It is emotionally draining enough just to bring home a newborn and have it in your house and be responsible for that little life.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But we haven't had a break yet. We haven't had a chance to get our heads above water, really, the past 2 months.
Yeah, you've been broken down for a while now.
So it was wonderfully exhilarating and exciting getting her from the hospital to the car and the car to the house. And then when we got to the house, we just got emotionally drained all over again.
Sure.
But it's the best of all possible scenarios after what we've been through to have her home.
Of course.
It's a thrill.
Has she seen the Batman room yet?
She has not.
Okay.
No. She's not getting around the house all that much at this point.
I know. I just figured that's the place you'd head first.
Her eyes really don't focus maybe as much as I would need her to take in the luster and the splendor that is the Batman room.
All right.
Your car is going to automatically head towards Sears when you leave today because there hasn't been a day in 60 that you haven't driven there, right?
That has been our Groundhog's Day existence, yeah. Just house to hospital, to hospital.
Wow.
So now,
well, congratulations.
But there's little things that we can appreciate now. Is like we can walk around with her because she's not tethered to some monitor or something. There's no wires or tubes coming out of her.
Right.
She looks like a real baby now for the first time in a long time. So it's been very exciting, and the family's been around. So we've had a lot of help, and it's been a pretty good transition, but you're constantly panicked. You're constantly worried. Was that a cough? Is she choking on something? Is she breathing? Is she doing this? Is she doing that? But we're just so happy to have her home. And thanks to everyone again for all the good wishes and the emails and the prayers. And I always tell my wife, I said, someday when this kid is 12 and she's got a pimple or something, she's not going to feel very special about herself. I'm going to tell her the story about how thousands of people were pulling for her every day during her early part of her life, and she'll know how special she is. So thanks so much, everybody. I really appreciate the support.
Welcome back.
And it's good to be back. And it's good to not be changing a diaper.
Thank God for work.
That's right. Oh, honey, I'd love to, but I got to go to work.
I really got to hit the road.
Well, it's going to be a long day.
Who's going to talk about Alicia Keys getting knocked up about me, honey? I got to go do it.
How shocking is that for obvious reasons?
Alicia Keys is pregnant with her first child.
Is she not playing with boys?
I don't know
much?
What the obvious reason is. Sorry.
Is that it?
That's the obvious reason.
Oh, that's it?
Hasn't it, Ralph, been rumored?
That had
forever,
been a long-standing rumor that Alicia played for the other team, but apparently...
Well, this doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Apparently she took some batting practice with Swizz Beatz. Even though she plays for the other team, she had a scrimmage or something. The couple are engaged and will get married later this year.
All right. Well, then.
Swizz has been married before and has two sons. And Alicia is set to perform at the concert in South Africa that will open something called the World Cup Soccer Tournament.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Not familiar with that is,
with it,
but
June 11th.
Apparently it's...
Full month.
It's going to be
rugby or something, isn't it, Ralph?
It's a little event.
How dare you.
It says soccer right here in the title, so I'm assuming it's that
I'm
game.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. Soccer.
It's going to be great.
Uh-huh. Soccer's popular in countries where kids can only play with, like, a severed head. And so that's why it's popular, because they don't need much. They can just kick the severed head around of some drug lord or something. That's why they enjoy it in those countries.
I don't argue that point. I'll give you that
one. Here in the States, we've got sports.
But soccer's popular in every country.
That's true.
Is the answer.
That's true.
All right.
All those countries that don't have the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB. Right. You're right about that.
That's correct.
You know, a lot of people watch Two and a Half Men, too. That's all I'm saying. Just because a lot of people are doing it only means a lot of people are doing it. Gary Coleman is in bad shape.
Uh-oh.
He is in critical condition at the Utah Valley Regional Medical Center
after
falling at his home Wednesday afternoon and apparently had a head injury.
Mm.
Gary is 42 years old and apparently not faring well. So we'll keep you on track with that. Yeah, you got to feel bad for Gary Coleman, right?
Yeah, he's had a rough couple of years.
And
he's going to have to start wearing one of those helmets.
Yeah, really. Then finding one to fit him.
Right.
Strap a thimble to his head.
What's his pediatrician telling us?
Oh, no, you didn't, because he's small.
What's my name?
American Idol is over.
Yes.
But the ripples continue on. Interesting story, Crystal Bauer Sox, who came in second this year in American Idol competition, has announced that just before her final performance on the season finale, she broke up with her boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah. She said, he has been amazing through the whole process, and we plan to be friends for a long time, but he's a small-town boy that couldn't get used to my new showbiz career.
Oh, my God.
Come
on.
That sounds like trouble.
You snaggletooth bitch. She's not even famous yet, and she's already dumping the old boyfriend.
And she is profoundly unattractive. She's lucky to have had a boyfriend.
And I've seen pictures of the dude. He seems like a pretty good-looking, cool dude.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird. Bad. Yeah. After all the time he took chiseling all that stuff off of her teeth that she had when she got to the competition, I cannot believe she would dump him. But there
That's real talk right there, man.
It is.
And just run a comb, like, even if it's once a week, Crystal, just run a comb through that hair.
Well, she's rocking the dreads. You can't really run a comb through that.
In part of her hair, she is. The other part just looks like Crazy Claire on Lost. Doesn't she?
She is Crazy Claire hair. Speaking of American Idol, Ricky Minor, the band leader of that band, was furious at the end of the show. Because in the last episode, they spent a lot of time kissing Simon Cowell's ass.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a better way to say it than you started.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ricky Minor, who has been the band leader for the entire run of that show, is leaving the show as well. He's going off to become the leader of the band for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Right.
And no one said, hey, good luck, goodbye,
not
thanks.
Not a word.
Let's give a round of applause to Ricky Minor and the band, his last show, too. Nothing. Apparently, he went off after the show. He was a little cheesed off, and Randy Jackson had to persuade him to go to the after party because he wasn't going to show. He said, come on, dog. Don't be all... You're a little bitchy, dog.
That sucks, because he's, first of all, enormously talented and has been on the show since the beginning, right, Ralph?
Yep.
Think absolutely. How hard he works.
he works harder than anybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's wrong. I don't know if you guys talked about it yesterday or not, but I watched the finale because it was Simon's last show. I just wanted to see that part of it,
right.
You know? And it is now obvious that those producers are incapable of putting together a television show.
Really? Yep. We did talk about it, Ralph, and I'm with you. I had not been watching this season, but had to tune in the finale, and it was an awful program, wasn't it?
It was pitiful. Horrible.
How about Paula coming out and speaking extemporaneously for several minutes?
That was bad.
That's the best
bad
part.
Decision. No, but she wasn't even bad enough to be good.
Oh.
And then it became like a musical episode of The Love Boat, where they bring out, let's bring out the two Bee Gees that aren't dead. And here's Daryl Hall and John Oates to perform for
you.
I was like, are you kidding me?
They've been tap dancing like this for years.
But this was beyond anything they had done before, where they would just bring out has-been after has-been, and you see kids in the audience looking at each other saying, who are those people?
What about Joe Cocker?
Joe Cocker was great.
Come on.
97-year-old Joe Cocker came out and had a seizure on stage. It was spectacular.
Man.
And then Dane Cook got up and sang a hilarious comedy song called Simon Says.
Wow.
It was... my mouth was agape.
Considering all of the shows where they've had bad results or the chant, whatever, they usually fill. They're usually bad, right? The final show is usually pretty bad. This is worse than all of the others?
Oh, yeah, by far.
I think so. I think it was the worst finale. I mean, even the cool ideas they had, like bringing back virtually everyone who's ever won the show to sing one song together. Even that was just staged so clunkily, and the song was so horrible that they were singing, you couldn't even enjoy anything on that program.
And the video packages they put together, Simon, they've got all the footage in the world to choose from and all the technology in the world to make an interesting clip package. They effed that up. It was bad clips, and it was cheesily done with bad music, and they couldn't make it funny or interesting. It was amateurish beyond words. I was stunned. Wow. All the money and the talent, well, obviously not my talent, but the staff of people they have over there, they couldn't put a show together.
So next season, you're both...
I'm out.
Bean?
I'm done.
Out?
It depends on what I see in the early auditions.
Oh, man.
No, it depends, because you know what? What got me out this year was how low the talent was on it. And if there's some really talented people that I'm interested in seeing how they do, I might stick around for a while.
No, but bad. Do you really want to hear Randy Jackson and Ellen DeGeneres and Carrie DiGuardi and Judge X say anything about anybody?
No, that's a good point. Without Simon, you're right. Yeah. It does hurt.
That's just not good.
All right, I'm running late, so let's get to the showbiz birthdays. John Fogerty. Put me in, coach. Remember
ready
song?
To play?
Remember,
no.
Remember his song? No. Center field? He's no. going into the Baseball Hall of Fame because of that song.
What?
Yep. First song ever to get that honor.
How dumb is that?
Not even taking me out to the ball saying. Game is in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
65 years old today. Kylie Minogue is 42.
Oh!
Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View is 33 years old today. Actress Monica Keena from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared is 31 years old. Carrie Mulligan from An Education and soon to be seen in Wall Street 2. She is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for your chance to win tickets to join us on the Weenie Roast. It's a week from tomorrow. Also, Adam Carolla. We got the Movie Beat, so much more, and the Internet Roundup in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, speaking of the Weenie Roast, if you don't mind my plugging it, we are going to do the contest next. Mm-hmm. If you know STP lyrics, you will have a leg up.
Okay.
So 1-800-520-1067.
So Stone Temple Pilots fans, this one's for you. Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey, King, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, what's up?
And I love how Dave spent his evening, cursing the Lakers because he always hates to see them happy, and B, counseling his girlfriend Haley Williams from Paramore. Dave spent much of his time last night trying to talk Haley down from a ledge, or so he thought, on his Twitter account. What happened? How did you find out, a guy like you who loves Haley from Paramore more than anyone in the world, how did you find out that a topless picture had ended up on the internet last night, Dave?
I believe all our listeners sent it to me, you know.
Okay.
So
you got 200 of them?
Yeah, so I got it, you know, a nice array of emails, and, you know, I just went on the Twitter and saw everything that was happening, and... Check it out.
What were people saying in general?
Hey, your girl's, you know, twit picked a picture of herself topless. I was like, no, it wasn't her. And then, I was like, hey, it is her. Totally.
Well, yeah. It might be her, but you don't know who sent it.
Yeah. That's
She would not have sent it.
She's saying that she got hacked. That was the last tweet that she has posted.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to make a mistake to twit pick the wrong photo.
Yeah. Sure.
And at the same time, it's easy to hack. So if her phone got hacked, then I'm sure that's the best picture that was on the phone.
But did you try to encourage her last night with your words on Twitter? Did you say, don't worry, Haley?
Yeah, you know.
Haley, you're going
to
be fine,
I did a couple
Haley.
Of tweets to her, and, you know, just saying, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be cool. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good in the hood,
Haley.
You know? No one's going to care,
it's,
man. You know,
Look, Haley's a beautiful girl, and she looks fantastic in the photo. And nobody can think anything but great things about her as a result of this. It doesn't hurt her, I don't think, at all. I mean, maybe with some people who are like hardcore anti-nudity, you know, those people will feel that way.
Not only that, but her image is so, like, you know, like, God-loving and, you know, a nice girl, that something like this could really hurt her, but it's not, and...
It's not what?
It's not going to affect anything. It's just going to blow over in a week or so. So,
well, it's good to hear that from you.
Yes.
You know, I said it, so it's going to happen.
Well, he does monitor the media.
He does. You know,
at all times. He really is our media.
I am DNN, and DNN says this will pass just like everything else, you know?
No, what DNN actually says is, Ed, don't sweat it. This will blow over soon. Your fans won't care. It sucks your private S was hacked. Laugh it off. That's Dave trying to talk Haley down.
Yeah, that's my...
Don't worry, Haley.
Let me ask you a question, Dave. And,
yes, sir.
This is rampant speculation. None of us have any idea.
Of course.
Do you think that her BlackBerry or iPhone or whatever was actually hacked, or do you think that she meant to send this to somebody privately and accidentally sent it, you know, to the public Twitter account?
Well, on the TwitPic that on the page that it was posted on, the avatar is old. So, I mean, it could have
been... I knew Dave would be the guy who has done the research. He's the computer forensics team.
The avatar is old.
Because you know like how you have a Twitter account and you could post a picture of yourself.
Yes.
Well, her current picture is from the Honda Civic Tour.
Okay.
The picture that's on the TwitPic page, which is connected to your Twitter account, is one of her old avatars.
And has
what does that mean to me, the consumer?
Has that been the case?
And it's saying that the TwitPic was posted last night. You know what I mean? So the avatar looks old. So it looks like someone could have easily just created a fake page, you know, like a mirror page.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But why wouldn't they have copied something new then?
Well, they have a picture of I don't know. I don't know why.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's just something to get up. And
I don't think Dave is a detective.
Either that or she direct messaged it, and that's what they hacked it from.
You know how you can direct message a TwitPic.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
she'd be more careful than
I think
though,
so, I think. Too. I mean, that's really dangerous. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, who knows?
Okay,
you know.
Let me ask you this, Dave, because this is a fine line here, but you love Haley so much.
I do.
Were you excited to see the picture, or were you so pissed off that somebody would do that to her that you wish it hadn't come out of respect for her?
Look, one dude, I'm a dude, so of course I was excited to see it, you know?
That was my question.
Yeah, I mean, look, every time you see a naked picture of a celebrity, it's awesome.
Sure.
I mean, it sucks that it's happening to them, but it's awesome for us.
Right. So. It's good for us.
Yeah, okay. It's good for us, sucks for them, but, you know, it sucks that it happened to Haley, who's a nice girl, but it happens, it's going to happen to everybody if you take those type of pictures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Spoken.
You know, like I said, I think it's going to blow over, and it's not going to be a big problem.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
look,
I mean,
Haley's awesome. I got no problem with Haley, and I think this does nothing but make me love her more because she has fine alabaster breasts. So I'm down with that. So all I know is we get to see her in a week, and I'm even more excited now than I already was.
That is not going to.
Weenie Roast sold out 1 week from tomorrow. Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine, California. Sublime with Rome, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, Spoon, Chevelle, Cage, The Elephant, Dirty Heads, Against Me, Temper Trap, Passion Pit. Oh, and another band I forgot called STP. Who's ready to win some tickets? Let's do it.
We have two tickets to Weenie. You'll go see STP. All you have to do is play STP-O-key.
STP-O-key. Okay. All right. See? I think I see how this works. All right. Here's the deal. 1-800-520-1067. We told you we were looking for fans of the Stone Temple Pilots. If that's you, then you'll be familiar with all the songs that we will play for you on the phone. Scott sings, then he stops, and you pick up where he left off. All you have to do is sing the next line for us, and we'll put you in the drawing to win the tickets. Where do you want to go first?
All right. Let's start with Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You ready for STP Okie?
I'm ready.
As soon as the song stops, you pick up where it leaves off, okay?
All right,
here we go.
That. Cause I'ma run somewhere, find me, and that's the place you found me.
He's
can
making up words.
You see?
Wow, that was
like
whoa. Cause I'm alive, so
alive now. Yeah. How can you tell?
I give him credit for being quick on the draw and trying, even if he didn't know it,
he
to
sold
pretend
it.
That he did.
Yeah,
he did sell it, but unfortunately, those were not the words at all. Thank you for trying anyway.
They're in that song at some point, but they weren't next. All right, let's go to Taylor. Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
You ready for STP Okie?
I'm ready.
Here's your song.
Even when we used to take drugs. Even when we used to take.
Oh,
I'm
going to
say close enough. Close enough.
Oh,
here's what Scott really sings.
Yeah,
even when we used to take drugs.
Yeah, but you always were my favorite drug. He missed, but
he did.
We could bend.
Yeah, because they're hard to understand. Yeah. Honestly,
thank you, Lisa.
All right.
He definitely knew the song. All right, hang on, you are in the drawing. Well played, my friend. Let's try Charlie Line 3 for STP Okie, trying to send someone to join us a week from Saturday. Hey, Charlie, you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Here's your song.
Think you're kind of neat, then she tells me I'm a creep.
Things don't be the same. Master never not a name.
No actual words were sung.
Johnny is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Johnny, welcome to STP Okie. Ready to try for tickets?
Are you there?
I'm ready.
Okay. Right.
You're ready. Here's your song. And then it goes.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh.
Just try it again. I'm sorry.
James, line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, James, you ready for your STP song?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Lies in the Vaseline we are.
Sometimes it blows my mind. G7 happen all the time. Is it you? Is it me? Lies in the Vaseline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing. That was pretty close.
That was not.
You're gonna give it to that guy, but not me.
Yeah, listen, we have. I mean, because we gave it to Taylor, we have to give it to him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
I mean.
Stuck here all the time.
Technically, you didn't say any of the words "keep getting stuck here all the time," but we're going to have to give it to you. That's just
all right.
All right, let's try one more. Make it a horse race. Juan is on line six. All right, Juan, you have a chance to be in the drawing for STP tickets. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Here we go.
All the things you said to me.
Thank you for playing. All right, we got two in the drawing. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Taylor or is it going to be James, Lisa May?
Our winner is Taylor.
Taylor, the first person that got it. Taylor, congratulations.
All right, cool.
Nicely done.
Thank you, guys.
Sorta.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm super stoked.
Awesome.
Well, we'll see you a week from tomorrow at the Weenie Roast. And thanks for playing the game.
Awesome, guys. STPO.
Say Queensbridge, say Queensbridge. Queensbridge.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Ron Artest. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Hey, it's time for the Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The first one, I'm not exactly sure how to describe. Go to KevinandBean.com if you'd like to see any of these videos. The first one is Slayer Goes to Church.
What?
Now, it's Slayer music, and it's edited in with African-American church members who are dancing in church. They're full of the spirit.
If you've never seen the videos of these black churches where the members just get consumed with the Holy Spirit and they start jumping up and down and doing backflips and high fives and dancing and fainting, it's unbelievable. And this guy who edited together with the Slayer music just did a phenomenal job with it.
So that's the music. And they're jumping around. It is really, really funny the way that he put it to it. You know how you drink too much at a music festival and you're that guy or girl?
Sure.
You know? Well, it's a long day usually, and yeah, you start too early.
This drunk girl at a concert called Seven Fest, she, A, fat, B, in the mud, C, too drunk to stand up. So her friends help her up. Watch about 30 seconds in, and...
Let her go. This is going to be on YouTube.
So they stand her up, they say, let her go, and then she takes one step and face plants right in the mud again.
And they did it specifically so they could put it up on YouTube.
I don't know. I mean...
This is the world we live in, people.
I hope.
I think a lot of things get done these days because it'll be funny to put on YouTube, to tell you the truth.
Heidi Montag auditioned for Transformers 3.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Listen to this. So you hear that Megan Fox isn't going to be in Transformers, and Heidi Montag says, this is the role I was born to play. They're never going to cast me. You know, they're never going to call me in for an audition, so I'm going to make my own and send it into Michael Bay. He won't be able to turn me away once he sees how awesome I am with a rifle.
Yeah.
This is for you, Michael Bay.
And she has a gun, and she just shoots a lot.
Yeah, there's a couple of different pieces of paper with, like, bodies on them, and she just runs around and shoots them.
That's the whole thing. There's no dialogue or anything else. It's just she has a gun. The Soup is a great TV show, and they are bidding farewell to Tyra Banks, who loves Tyra Banks more than anyone loves Tyra Banks. Mm-hmm. Tyra Banks does. And they've compiled some clips of her talking about herself.
I'm a very popular person.
My reality show, True Beauty!
Oh, my God. I need to go get my hair done.
Go, Tyra!
Tyra, we love you! And there's been one too many times when I actually almost ran into a mountain when I used to live in L.A.
And I'm kind of a little attracted to myself.
How it made you feel when people said that to me. Me to you.
I wonder what Tyra looks like in person. I'm 5'9". I look so fine. Kiss my fat ass!
I think I have a big ass. Will you embrace my big fat ass? People call me fat. My boobs look huge.
So that's just a few highlights of her career.
About
You're
her.
You're sad that her show's going away, right, Kevin? You love her.
I love her badness. I mean, I really do think she's terrible. You know how you're watching your favorite show and weather or car chase or presidential speech, something interrupts it.
Mm-hmm.
And to you, that's not more important. You're watching a show for a reason. Well, there's this woman. She's watching Criminal Minds. I guess it's the season finale.
Okay.
And there's a tornado watch. So they cut into her Criminal Minds, and she is not happy about that.
My season finale of Criminal Minds, the latter half of it was interrupted because this douchebag was on my damn screen talking about a freaking damn tornado that wasn't anywhere near me. appreciate that bull.
Yep. Good times. The Chris Klein video that got out where he was auditioning for Mamma Mia.
Don't go wasting your emotion.
Right. Not great.
But he's not the worst singer I've ever heard.
On Funny or Die, he spoofs himself and does some auditions for some other roles.
Thanks, Chris Klein, reading for Twilight. Bella, I only said it would be better if we weren't friends. Not that I didn't want to be.
MacGruber! My name is Chris Klein, and I really want this part. MacGruber!
I see you got a piano there, but I brought my own people. Guys, come on. You guys want some ABBA? Because I do a great ABBA number.
How smart is he, by the way? Within like 2 days of that other video that was potentially embarrassing for him getting out, he took away anybody's opportunity to make fun of him by making fun of himself.
Yeah.
Well done, Chris Klein.
There are a bunch of other videos up as well. You can go to the Internet Roundup. I have one more clip to play for you from the Internet Roundup, but there's the Kesha parody that's up. Lisa May Motorboat from yesterday is up.
Yeah,
hold on a second. Don't go past that. So if you missed the show yesterday, Lisa May motorboated Miss Cleo at one point in the show.
That's correct.
Just because she wanted to, by the way.
We didn't have anything to do with it.
I think it was a game we were playing.
Miss Cleo just walked in and Lisa May just attacked her. It was just crazy. But thank God we got it on video and put it up on the website. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
All right, here's the last one for the Internet Roundup. This is a newscast. Now, you would think that newscasters take everything seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a story on a shot that women can get to make sex more pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And this male TV host, he's a TV news anchor, says this.
Susan, who you met in our story, says that is one appointment she is not going to miss because she says it worked for her.
So she's enjoying penis a little bit more, is she?
She's enjoying her sex life a little bit more.
She and her husband. Why would you say that?
Oh, my God.
Why would he say that? He's a news anchor.
That's unbelievable.
And I think everybody realizes after he says it, and they just sit there with that look in their eye, like, how do we get out of this? Oh, my God, what just happened?
Yes, with her husband.
Husband.
Kevin and Bane, Internet Roundup.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6:58.
Finally Friday, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Kristen Cavallari has announced she wants to give fans of The Hills a bird's eye view of the entire show. She says she's going to write a tell-all book.
Oh, that'll be so not interesting.
About the show. A tell-all book.
She's only been on one season.
Not a tell-some book, a tell-all book.
Wow.
Apparently, she is already working on the book, according to In Touch Weekly magazine.
No! No!
She's waiting to go public with all this information until her contract is up over there on the Hills. But when it's up, it's tell-all time.
No.
Here's a little excerpt from the book. I got a little, I had the galley sent over. Here's a little, let me read you a little piece.
All right.
There were, like, cameras, and they, like, shot us doing, like, stuff. And then, like, one time I said this thing, and then on television, I was there, and I said it right there on the television. It was as if I was saying it, but it was from a camera and, like, some videotape. So, there you go.
I look forward to that book.
That's going
to
be a good read.
It's going to be awesome. Reggie Bush is speaking poorly of his ex, Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
I don't know how that's possible. Once again, In Touch Weekly magazine reports that Reggie was overheard telling his new girlfriend that her body was so much better than Kim's because Kim's was so fake.
Fake? Really? How is it fake?
I guess, are her boobs real?
Yeah.
I think so. Really? I think they are.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Maybe she had lipo or something. I don't know what the deal is, but... By the way, sweetheart, that's what all guys tell their new girlfriends, by the way. So don't put too much stock in it. Oh, your body is so much better.
Last one ugly.
Than the last body I had.
I threw up a lot.
I could barely even have sex with Kim Kardashian. She was so hideous. But you, honey, you're the one. And trust me, when he breaks up with you, he's going to tell the next girl that your body also repulsed him. Speaking of the Kardashians...
London!
Courtney's getting a tummy tuck because her baby daddy, Scott Disick, apparently told her he's not attracted to her anymore since she had the baby.
Sweet.
Nice. He is a winner on every possible level. As my old departed friend, Bean Baxter, used to say, he is full of win.
Yeah.
That guy is such a douchebag. Yeah.
I just put some flowers on his grave, by the way.
I don't miss him.
No, I'm right
I was
here.
I was in the Great Northwest, and I went by, and
I don't miss him yet. Nice.
I think I had the grass mowed, and I put some flowers on his grave.
Oh. This is what it's like to be dead and a ghost.
For now, I'm good. I'm saying maybe it takes some time.
Casting has been completed for the X-Men prequel, X-Men First Class.
Ooh, tell me.
They are going back to the origins of the X-Men. This is before all the other X-Men movies happened. This is a young Professor X.
Okay.
Taking on a young Magneto. And James McAvoy has been cast to play the young Patrick Stewart.
I love him.
Good choice.
Professor X in the film. The film basically focuses on Charles Xavier and Eric Lenscher, who becomes Magneto, and then they discover their powers, and that's when they divide off and begin their war. So
it's them at the Hogwarts school, basically. Learning how to...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And Trent Reznor wants you to listen to the EP of his new band, How to Destroy Angels. So he's going to give it to you for free. How do you like that?
Like it.
I like it very much.
It'll be available as a free download on Tuesday from the group's new website, howtodestroyangels.com. The EP will be released on CD and vinyl this summer, but if you want to hear it early next Tuesday, you get to have a little taste. I'm sorry I'm out of time because I've got some great Justin Bieber news, but you're going to have to wait.
I've got the Bieber fever, though. I can't wait an hour.
Well, take two aspirin, lay down, and then come back in an hour because I've got some amazing Justin Bieber news. Today's celebrity birthday is John Fogerty of the legendary rock band Creedence Clearwater Revival. He is 65 years old.
Got to put him in the top five of all-time American songwriters, I would say.
Great rock songwriter. Absolutely. I agree. Kylie Minogue is 42 years old today. Actor Justin Kirk from Weeds turns 41. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, co-host of The View, is 33 years old today. Monica Keena from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared turns 31. Belle, please.
Okay, I'm not sure I know her.
And Carrie Mulligan from An Education and from the soon-to-be-seen Wall Street 2 celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is congratulations to Chris Woodman, who just got tickets in the front row.
Congratulations to him.
For the K-Rock Weenie Roast, your chance to win front row seats on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. It's 13 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Movie beat in minutes because it's Friday here on the Kevin Mean Show. Ralph Garman has returned after a great day off at his house, bringing home his new daughter. A lot of love on the phones yesterday, people. Very excited that you were taking her home yesterday.
A lot of love from the emails, too. I really appreciate it.
We did miss you. We're glad you're back, and we're also glad that we have the opportunity to get an update from your friend Annabelle. How about a brief synopsis from you before we go to her on the phone?
August 2008, I witnessed a hit-and-run accident where a driver plowed into Annabelle and her daughter, Ayana, who were just crossing the street walking their dogs. This person came out of nowhere, and right in front of us, the accident happened, and it was shocking and horrifying, is to this day. And so I have been keeping touch with Annabelle off and on since the accident, first of all, to try to capture who did it, which we never did, but also just to check in with her. And I had her for a long time until recently, and things had not been going well. So we talked to her on Wednesday to try to get the K-Rock and Kevin and Bean listeners to see what they could do to help out a little bit, to maybe donate some money or some services or whatever they could do to try to help Annabelle get back on her feet. She's lost her job and her car and her home. And as I mentioned before, I kind of take it personally because not only did I witness it, that's something I will always remember, but also that's my neighborhood, and my wife and I have crossed that street in that crosswalk, and we've walked our dog there. It could have been easily, it could have been us or someone else that we know, and it was such a random act of horrific violence, and the person did not stop, did not slow down. It was inhuman what happened to her. So I thought, as bad as that person was, I bet you we can be just as good and try to do some good for Annabelle and her family, and I think we're getting there. Things have been going really well the past couple of days.
We have an update with Annabelle. Hi, Annabelle.
Hi.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm wonderful, thank you.
Well, we spoke with you a couple days ago, and Ralph put up a very very nice post up on the website that we encourage people to check out if they have not yet gone to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, and we explained what your situation was and how you literally were getting ready to be evicted from this apartment that you're already in because you lost your home, and you couldn't afford the doctors, and you couldn't afford the medicine, and you don't have a car, and it looked like bad times for you. Please tell me, and I got my fingers crossed here, that the Kevin and Bean listeners did come through with a little bit of help.
Yes, absolutely. It was overwhelming. I've been also receiving lots of letters and people just wanting to say things to me. And one person said, you know, you know, you, it's, everyone is saying you're not alone, and everyone is saying that I'm, you know, God hasn't forsaken me, and that I'm gonna, you know, be okay. And I have felt like that for the past year, like I've been forsaken in some way, and that is now gone. It's a very overwhelming feeling because I can't wrap my head around that I'm going to be okay now.
Wow. Yeah, I spent a little time with Annabelle on Wednesday, and she said the day before she talked to us, she wasn't sure if she was going to make it or not. And since our listeners have come through in such a big way, she feels now, once again, that she's going to make it, that she's got a chance. And that's great to be able to make a difference like that.
Thank you to everyone that participated in that.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of all our listeners.
It's always, it seems like it's always that way when it comes to charity. I run a charity with my wife, and every time we put out a plea, people want to help.
Yeah.
And they help overwhelmingly, and it's really shockingly good.
Annabelle, I know you're nowhere near to being out of the woods, and we're going to encourage people to still continue to donate whatever they can, even if it's $5. And I bet you got a lot of people who did just that, who sent you $2, $5, $8, whatever they had, but that all adds up after a while, right?
Absolutely. It does all add up. And there was, you know, random 59 cents and $3. And, you know.
That's great. Every little bit. And, you know, the exciting part, too, Annabelle, of course, money is nice, and it certainly, at least for now, will help you kind of stay stable. But more importantly, we're concerned about your long-term health and getting you back on your feet and getting you back to working and to living the way you want to live. And I know a lot of, besides money, we've got a lot of offers from medical people and stuff like that who want to be able to help you with your treatment and things like that.
Yes. Yes. There's about three different doctors that have asked me if I want some help. So.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that is great. That is. And what kinds of services have people offered to provide for you, Annabelle? Anything that comes to mind?
From anything from helping me out at the house to cleaning up to taking my daughter to Disneyland.
Wow.
Oh, look at that.
There's a lot of just everyone's just saying that they would do whatever.
We also have Jason Moore, who's the distribution manager for the Scooter Store, and he was one of the people that responded as well. Jason, hi.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Great to talk to you. What made you call in the other day?
I've listened to the show for 20 plus years or so, and it's funny because one of my colleagues who works at our corporate headquarters in Texas was streaming it on his iPhone, Darren Troilo, and we both had the same idea that, you know, because of the business that we're in and because we help people on a day-to-day basis, that this was something we could step in and provide her something to help her with daily activities and, you know, getting outside with her daughter and whatnot and just trying to make it easier for her.
So it's a motorized scooter that you're donating to her?
Yeah, we're donating on behalf of our company, a gift of mobility of a power scooter to help her get around and help her with daily chores and whatnot.
How about that?
Just a little something to try to make things better.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I imagine, Annabelle, that one of the most frustrating things that has happened to you as a result of this accident is the lack of mobility, not being able to get up and walk around, which kind of, you know, confines you to being in one spot all the time. This is amazing.
Absolutely. I can't go anywhere. And I am sort of mobile enough to be able to go places, but I need a car or I need, you know, the wheelchair or I need something that I can go out and be out for long periods of time. And that's amazing. I can go and now take Ayana to see a movie or, you know. Yeah.
And the scooter, even the scooter would be able to help you get to that store around the corner from your house there we were talking about where you can get your own groceries and things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right around the corner from a store and I can just shoot down there and come back and that's wonderful.
Jason's website, by the way, is thescooterstore.com if you want to check out the range of products that they have there. Jason, that's so awesome of you as a Kevin Bean listener to step up when you heard the call from Annabelle. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Thank you, my friend. All right. Well, listen, Annabelle, we're out of time for right now, but we again, we still have that post up at kevinandbean.com, and we still encourage people to go there. And I know that you've got a lot of other things brewing, both with attorneys that have contacted us and also with doctors. So I'm hoping that you've now got a support system around you that, A, is going to be able to help make you get better and make your life a little bit easier, and B, is going to let you know that you're not alone and that you got a lot of people that are really pulling for you. And we got our fingers crossed that it all ends up working out well for you.
It's very overwhelming and wonderful, and thank you to everybody. To you, Ralph, thank you so much, and to everybody that's supporting me right now. It's changed my life, and I'm truly grateful. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, listen,
very welcome,
give a big kiss to your daughter for us, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye, Annabelle.
Bye.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 29 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Prince of Persia or Sex and the City 2? Let's find out. I'll start with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
They're on a camel!
They're on a camel.
Sex and the City girls on a camel!
I think Bean said Sucks in the City. I'm not sure.
No.
I think
he was right. No, sex. Oh. But
right. It is Friday, which means we take a look at the new movies in the Cineplexes throughout this great nation of ours. I want to start off with one, a little film. But if you're a horror film fan, you know the name George A. Romero.
Yeah.
Man who brought you, basically invented the zombie film genre. He's
right.
Got a new one out this weekend called Survival of the Dead, about National Guardsmen who think they have found refuge from a zombie army on an island off the coast of Delaware, soon just to realize that they've wedged themselves into an even worse situation. That's Survival of the Dead. If you're a fan of his work, you want to check that out this weekend. And I would rather be eaten by zombies than go to see Sex and the City too.
Oh.
So it all dovetails one right into each other. Yes, they're back again. Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, Grumpy, Sneezy, Dopey, Samantha, Doc. I don't know who they are, but it's four horsey broads who go on vacation. That's the movie. They go to Dubai and ride camels in Christian Dior dresses and Manolo Blahnik shoes.
That is true.
That
they do that.
That
yes.
happens.
That does happen.
Lisa went to see this movie.
I enjoyed it very much.
Of course you did.
That's not because it was good, though, right,
it was
Lisa?
Fabulous.
It was.
It was exactly what girls who love the show think it's going to be, and it delivers.
Oh,
really fun.
You know what else delivers? A shotgun right to my forehead. Doesn't mean I want to pull the trigger.
I don't think you should
go. Just because it delivers.
It's not for you.
Here's a scene from Sex and the City, boo. The girls talk about gay marriage in this film. So it's got a little political statement, too.
Great.
Her best gay friend is marrying my best gay friend.
That's wonderful.
I know. Let me get the registry.
Thanks.
How did this even happen? I thought they hated each other.
It's like musical chairs. The music stopped, and they were the last two left standing.
Just when you thought everyone you knew was too old to get married, here come the gays.
Is that in lieu of a script? Oh. They just... What in hell?
You know, that wasn't my favorite part, I will admit.
So the two things that we've talked about so far that you are admitting are true.
That little clip wasn't great.
Alex, our producer Alex says that it's fashion porn. It's like if you're
totally
into fashion.
Is.
So it's sound down?
Yeah,
no.
I guess.
Judging from that dialogue,
from that,
it should be.
Yeah, it should be
it's
for
like
sure.
Musical chairs. The music stopped and they were the last two standing. Shut up. All I know is at one point in the movie, Sarah Jessica Horseface actually says, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, that happens
Wizard
as well.
Wizard of Oz was from 1939. That's how old that joke is. People have been saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And nobody can go to that movie, Lisa. I was just going to say, no one could have laughed at that. It's so predictable and obvious and just dead at this point.
It's funny, her delivery.
It's not funny.
We enjoyed it. Lots of
I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
I think we can. Let's move on to a movie we actually want to see, shall we? Prince of Persia.
Yeah, Glendale.
You played the video game, now enjoy the motion picture with a buff Jake Gyllenhaal. Dude is buff.
Is he?
He has buffed up. He's let his hair grow, and he rocks a British accent, which, by the way, is pretty good.
Really?
Oh, good for him.
Which you don't see from Americans very often. He, of course, is the lead. Dashan is the name of the character. He takes on the evil Nizam.
Sure.
Played by Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley, by the way. Used to be Gandhi. Sure. Now he's in a video game movie.
Yeah.
That's how Ben Kingsley rocks. Here is them debating on what they should do next. And, you know, they're looking for the magic dagger, which will help you rule the world if you got it.
I know. Selling weapons to our enemies, Testa.
An arrow such as this through my horse in Koshkan. Blood will run in Alamut streets for this.
Or our soldiers will fall from its walls.
Our orders were to subdue Koshkan, not to attack Alamut.
Wise words, little brother. Words won't stop our enemies once they're armed with Alamutian blades. We attack at dawn.
Yeah, this is another one you can just turn the sound down on, I think.
They're not in Kansas anymore, Ralph.
Turn the sound down and just watch this one, too.
Things blow up and change and magic and swords and sorcery and daggers.
It's eye candy.
And Gemma Arterton also.
Oh, my God!
She is stunning.
Who is she?
She's a British actress who's been she's working quite a bit lately. She was in Clash of the Titans.
Oh, okay.
And she was one of the Bond girls. She was Strawberry Fields in the last Bond movie, Daniel Craig. And she is
retarded hot.
And
giggity,
charming, lovely, talented. She's a winner. So
is she in the desert sand in high heels?
She's not.
Okay,
no,
good.
I think she wears sandals.
Okay, good.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
Mike Newell is directing this, too, by the way, and he's a real good director, so it's
even
more of a reason to have faith that this is actually a pretty good film. And also, I'd like to recommend, while we're talking about movies, the Kendra Wilkinson sex tape.
Oh,
I was watching it in the office just moments ago, and I highly recommend that, too, as
With big, fat, white guy that could use a tan?
He's a doughy white guy, don't get me wrong, but he gives help for all of us doughy white, gives hope, rather, for all us doughy white guys everywhere that we could nail a pre-breast implant Kendra Wilkinson.
On your waterbed with a panther on it?
That's right. I gotta tell you about the jungle room I used to have in my apartment at one time. The motif of my boudoir that I used to rock back in the early days when I lived in Glendale. I'm Ralph Garvin, I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. Uh-huh. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
All right. Yeah, I recognize the real player.
Spencer.
What do you
Spencer
want, Captain?
Spencer Pratt.
Yes, Chief.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Winky, winky.
First of all,
what?
You've been telling everybody that you're taking a break from your obligation to filming The Hills, when in reality, we all know you got fired because you've got anger management issues.
That's
why
not
do you
true
keep lying?
That's what
to
they
people?
Like to say. Look at you, Captain. You know,
what?
You don't know nothing, Chief. You're in the media, and you come here, and you do your radio show every morning, and it's like you pretend like you don't know how you guys distort things.
But The
you
Hills.
You don't distort things. How PR people don't protect their stars. What's really
By firing
true?
Them?
I'm working on my mariachi album, and I didn't have time for that dumb show.
You don't have a mariachi album,
first
of
Joint Chief of Staff.
You have nothing without The Hills, and now we see this report that your new plan, since you're not on The Hills anymore, is that you're going to fight crime?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I was the first Navy SEAL.
You weren't?
I was the first mall cop.
That's not
Every form
true.
Of law enforcement is something that is based on me. I was the guy. Call me the gunslinger.
According to the article that I'm reading, you partnered with the American Defense Enterprise.
Correct.
Bill Beasley is the head of that group. He says Spencer heard a speech from Obama about the cyber attacks and got incensed by it. He wants to do something. He's looking
right.
to partner with me and create a division to protect the United States.
Correctamundo.
Yes. And he's contacted the Pentagon.
The red, white, and blue depends on neckbeard, dog. You know what I'm saying? There's only one real John Wayne out there nowadays. It's me. Okay, so when I'm not being Jared from Subway, I'm going to defend this country because that's what I do.
You're not Jared from Subway. But what I don't understand is why every article now about you talks about how you're collecting guns and shooting guns, yet you're trying to fight cybercrime, which is white-collar crime. Guys on computers, you don't need a gun to go after a guy who's committing cybercrime.
That's what you think. You're talking gelato. I'm straight next level ice cream, baby. It doesn't matter to me. I walked on the moon. I invented the iPod. I'm totally next level. I'm out of this world. You understand?
Okay.
Let's say somebody's committing credit card fraud on a computer.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe there's the Mr. Good Cop, in quotes, that needs to come through, Kendall. You know what I'm saying? And,
Kevin,
handcuffs on.
Right.
Okay. And then there's Bad Cop Spence Dog that's really making a difference out there. That's ventilating his dome piece, putting holes in bodies.
I don't think that's... I'm not
busting caps, kid.
That's not how you solve cybercrime.
I got a diamond-plated 9 because I'm rich.
Okay. That's the other thing. In addition to collecting all these guns, and we saw the ridiculous video of your wife auditioning for Transformers the other day, shooting off some guns.
She got the role?
She didn't get the role. No. She's not. Some Victoria's Secret model is going to be taken over from Megan Fox.
I invented red hair.
You did. Nobody invented red hair. But my question is, are you also still rapping? Is that part, or is this the new Spencer Pratt now with guns and rapping? What's going on with you?
Funny you should say that, Chief. Got my new song right here. It's called Giggity Giggity Gun Gun Guns.
That's the name of it?
Giggity Giggity Gun Gun Guns.
And this is you rapping?
Yeah, this is just go ahead and hit my MP3.
All right.
Yeah, Spence Dog don't play when it comes to the guns.
Clack, clack.
I'm also the first man to ever have insurance.
What?
And the third president of the United States. Rat-a-tat-tat, it's your boy Spencer Pratt. Blasting all the haters with a chrome-plated gap. I'm rich, I'm strapped. Always got my heater lying on my lap. I was born and raised in South Central L.A. Founded the band N.W.A. And if you step to me, you get served. I'm the current head of the Federal Reserve. Break out my guns with no hesitation. You better make good on my lunch reservation. Your Mater D might get smoked. My neck beard makes sure that I'll never go broke. Yeah, I'm on the quarter. That's right. I invented the toothpick. That's right. Currently the CEO of Google. That's right. Bitch. That's right.
Okay. None of that is true.
First time you saw Die Hard, recognize I'm a panther.
Okay. We're out of time here, Spencer. Please die this weekend, would you? Listeners to the Kevin and Bean Show may be surprised to find out that Ralph, Kevin, and I, Bean, have all shed a tear within the last week. For surprising reasons.
No kidding.
So we're going to discuss that coming up after the top of the hour and also hear from you men. When was the last time you cried over something that really you're probably ashamed to admit?
It can't be death in the family or something that warrants crying.
Right.
It has to be something frivolous.
I cry all the time.
I do too.
I cry easily.
Really?
Yeah, I'm an easy cry.
Both of you?
Yeah. And I've always hated that about myself.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Yeah.
I suspect we'll hear from some Phoenix Suns fans, by the way, who were doing a little bit of crying around 8:40 last night.
Yeah, all right.
That topic is coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What the hell's going on?
Would you ever assume Bean would cry about anything ever?
I don't think he's ever shed a tear in his life.
I didn't even know he had tear ducts until there was a tube coming out of one once.
He does not.
I don't even know he had a hole there for a long time, apparently. Yes.
I don't cry often, but every once in a while I do, and I did have occasion to earlier this week, so we'll discuss.
I don't cry often, but when I do, it's usually over Dos Equis.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Great list out of Entertainment Weekly magazine on EW.com. You can check it out. In the magazine, they're going to present their list of the 100 greatest fictional characters of the last 20 years.
100 greatest fictional characters.
Entertainment Weekly is celebrating their 20th anniversary. They started publishing in 1990, so they thought they'd go back and they would pick the best characters of TVs and movies in the past 20 years, the 100 of them. So I can give you the top 10 from their list right now. Number 10 is SpongeBob SquarePants. Initially, I scoffed when I thought about it. I said, that's a monster character.
Yeah.
That really is like the Mickey Mouse of this generation. He has become huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, number 10.
Carrie Bradshaw.
No!
Sex and the City.
No!
Well, in terms of cultural influence, I think you'd have to legitimately argue for her to be on the list. Yeah.
Plus, you have to remember who buys Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Yeah.
It's chicks in the checkout counter.
That's true.
At the Albertsons, you know. Hannibal Lecter, 8th on the list. Mm. Can't argue there.
Sure.
Edward Scissorhands, a truly iconic film character, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think that one has... I mean, it was a great movie at the time, but it's not like its influence continues to be felt.
But when you
see... It kind of disappeared after the movie left theaters, I guess is what I'm saying.
But when you see that character, it is such a visual... icon, I think you're instantly brought back to that film. I think it really stands up.
I can't see Fava Beans without thinking about Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, there you go. Number 6, there's going to be some debate here, I'm sure. Rachel Green, which is the role, of course, that Jennifer Aniston played on Friends.
Are you effing
really?
One of the greatest TV and movie characters of the past 20 years.
A lot of hairstyles, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, I was thinking about the
hair. So why is the Rachel hair? And Friends was one of the biggest shows on television. I know it has lost its luster in retrospect, but at the time it was a huge cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Right.
True.
But this is the top 10.
Yeah, I'm saying. I hear you.
What else we got?
Number 5, The Joker.
There it is.
Is that Jack Nicholson's Joker?
This is Heath Ledger's
Joker.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Right.
Tony Soprano. 4th on the list.
Okay. Absolutely.
I would have thought he was first. That was my guess.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. 3rd.
Another odd choice.
I think she should be on the list of 100, but I don't know the top 10 or certainly
top
3.
Top 5, top 3.
Number 2, Harry Potter, as you can imagine.
Oh,
I think
sure.
you'd have to give it that for the books and the movies and the cultural significance. And number 1, it's going to make Kevin very happy. Homer Simpson, number 1 list.
All right now.
Makes sense.
Greatest character in the past 20 years.
Love it.
Been around for 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
All 20.
It's hard to argue.
Now, Kevin, are you willing to give up your Tony Soprano if Homer's number 1?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the other members on the list, The Dude from Big Lebowski.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
John Locke from Lost.
Sure.
Hugh Laurie's House, Dr. House. Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. So.
Yep.
Interesting list. Check it out. Pick up the magazine. All right, I promised you some Justin Bieber news.
Fantastic.
And it is... I got two stories. They're just so magical. They have to go together. Apparently, Justin Bieber has quite a temper.
Now we're getting into the good stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Really?
It's not enough he's a douchebag and he's talentless, but now apparently he is a bit of a bully, too. He was down in Australia doing a show, a morning TV show in Sydney called Sunrise, when the floor manager was leading Justin to where he was supposed to perform his song after the commercial, he touched him on the shoulder, and that's when Justin whipped around and said, "Don't ever effing touch me again."
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
Don't look me in the eye.
Justin's sound guy stepped in and got between them and said to the guy, the stage manager, who was shocked, naturally, "Don't worry, he tells us that all the time." So apparently he treats his crew this way, too.
Don't effing touch me.
Last week in Wales, by the way, Justin was asked about his tattoo, his flimsy freaking tattoo on his hip.
Yeah.
And he stormed out of the interview, walked out of the radio interview.
Why?
Because he's a little bastard. All right, so here's the good news.
He's dead?
There is a company.
Well, no,
not that
good. Not that good?
Is it a company called the Free Art and Technology Collective, which is a creative collective that puts together technology for the internet but gives it away?
Okay.
For your computer.
Right.
They have come up with something called the Shaved Bieber application. And this is a program that censors every mention and photo of Justin Bieber on your laptop or desktop computer. You download it, and it is a filter that will filter out any mentions or any pictures of Justin Bieber from your computer. So it won't come up in any search engines. It won't come up in any emails that get sent out about it. You will be Bieber free on your computer if you would you download this application.
Think about how much hate that dude must have for Jason Bieber to go through all that and write a program. That's awesome.
The Shaved Bieber application, it's called.
Love
and
it.
It's the work of a guy named Greg Luke, who is, as I said, a member of this Free Art and Technology Online Creative Collective.
We must talk to Mr. Luke next week.
I think we should. He's got another creation, too. It's a plugin that converts text from uppercase to lowercase for idiots who send everything in capitals to you in an email and you don't want to read it.
Right.
So he's got an application that'll do that for you, too. So this guy's thinking outside the box. I like that. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Carrie Mulligan from An Education, soon to be seen in Wall Street 2. She's 25 years old today. Monica Keena from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared is 31. Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View is 33 years old today. Kylie Minogue is 42. John Fogerty, legendary singer and songwriter on his own and also with Creedence. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
No, guys.
Radio Mana Boom Boom.
The end of that song always sounds like the Grateful Dead to me. It just sounds like stoned guys noodling on their guitar. You know?
That's what it is.
Dirty Heads featuring Rome right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Green Day, Rise Against, and the band Pepper on the way. All right, I don't think we've talked about this in years, but occasionally, even the strongest man will shed a tear. Occasionally, it happens in your life where something happens that you shouldn't be crying about. It's not an obvious reason why you would cry. But
I would say real strong men cry freely. I would say.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Ralph.
That's what Kevin and I would
say. It takes an exceptional man.
That's right, a man comfortable with his masculinity.
Right.
Now, Ralph, you said that you cry often. What have you cried at lately that might surprise people?
Most recent thing I cried at was a dude who was a gorilla rescue guy who released a young ape into the wilderness in Africa, and then had a reunion with him 5 years later, and the ape recognized him and hugged him and didn't want to let him go. And then followed his boat down river as he was leaving. Did not rip his face off.
Unbelievably touching.
He just recognized his the guy who raised him from a small ape, and then the gorilla gave him a hug and recognized him, and I cried like a baby.
That was an amazing video.
It's from an Animal Planet, a TV show by gorillas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A YouTube video, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube, and I cried like a bitch.
How about you, Kevin?
Mine was less important. Mine was the series finale of 24.
24?
Because there's a
Because
there's a scene between Chloe and Jack. They've been best friends, right? Yeah. And then, you know, they're saying,
bring the drone back to the base.
Oh, then they bring
whatever
this music
happened,
in.
Didn't happen. Understand?
And then Jack looks up at the satellite, and she's crying, and he's crying, and he has to run from the United States.
Wow.
Wow. That sounds awful. Really bad.
This music, though. You don't have an option.
Yeah, I do.
It's 24. And then she says,
shut it down.
Shut it down. And that's the end.
Oh,
and she was sobbing.
Wow.
And I was crying a little.
This is the guy that cried at King Kong.
I know.
What, a surprise?
What, that monkey dies? I didn't know that.
All right, Bean.
What a bunch of Moes I'm working with. Jeez, what's that about? I cried at real life this week, ladies and gentlemen. I cried in person, in real life, on the phone. How about that?
No.
I spent.
We're telling stories that are true now, Bean.
This is true. We're going to take your phone calls.
I'm going to make something up. I sound like a person too. Listen to me.
Nope. They programmed that into me when they built me as a robot, Ralph. We're going to take your calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067 about guys only, please. What you cried at,
and it has to be not the most relevant thing. It can't be the death of somebody that you should cry.
Exactly, where everybody cries.
You're embarrassed, right, perhaps, that you cry.
I was on the phone, and you guys know a little bit of this off the air, but I was on the phone for almost 2.5 hours the other day with customer service with my phone company. Had a problem with a phone line here at my house, right? In fact, the phone line that allows me to broadcast this radio show,
right,
I had a problem with. It wasn't working. And I called, and you guys know what customer service is like, you know?
Yeah.
I call, and of course, they've never heard of me. They can't find my account. They don't know what phone line I'm talking about. And I was on the phone for 2.5 hours, transferred about every 20 to 30 minutes. I was transferred to a new person. And each time I was assured, I found the right person for you, Bean. This is the guy who's going to be able to understand your problem and get you some service.
Hello, okay? This is Cliff.
And I swear to
how
God.
How does this end with you crying?
I can't wait.
I'll tell you. In the course of this talking to 5 different people from my telephone company, I went through all of the range of emotions of I laughed about it. The first person that they transferred me to, who I then realized knew nothing, had been briefed with nothing, had to start over with my account and start to try to help me. The first person, I just laughed. I thought, that's really funny that I've already been on hold for a half an hour and now I have to start over from scratch with a new person. The second person, I was just annoyed. The third person I talked to, I was just annoyed. The fourth person, I was really mad. When they picked up and I said, yeah, I've been told that you can help me with this problem, and they said, no, I don't know anything about that. I said, God damn it! Now I'm in the rage part of the range of emotions,
okay? 5 stages of customer service.
Yes, exactly. And then they transferred me to the 5th person, and the person number 4 was very helpful, at least tried to be, very sympathetic. He said, I'm really sorry you're going through this. I understand how frustrating this is. I promise you, I am not going to let you down. I can find the person that can solve your problem for you. Please hang on. And he transferred me to the person, and she picked it up, and she said, hey, I understand you're having a problem with your DSL connection. And I just, she heard nothing from me on the other end until a soft moan, and then I began to weep. I began to tear up, and I just, it was at that point I felt like I was in a North Korean prison, and I'd been forgotten by my country, and I was never getting out, and I softly wept to myself.
Tears of frustration.
You cried at customer service for your phone?
I cried at, I did.
The only thing that could make me, Bean, cry has to do with the internet. That's what I'm taking from
that. No, it was the phone line for this radio show. didn't have anything to do with the internet. That's why it was so frustrating that she said, oh, I understand you have a DSL problem. Right. It had nothing to do with that.
Listen,
the fifth person I went to after 2.5 hours,
listen, this is important.
I'm starting from scratch again.
Bean, this is important. If you're going to lie about crying, you have to make it believable.
I'm telling you, it's exactly what happened. I really
That's
did.
Effed up.
Why, though? You can understand how frustrating
it is
after 2.5 hours on the phone.
Right.
And I'd already been through bemusement and anger, and now I was at the point where I was just like a beaten little puppy. I just was so, so sad.
I've never gone from anger. I get just more angry.
That's what I'm saying. You gave up on anger way too soon.
I did. I gave up on anger because I just couldn't even believe that it was happening to me, and I actually cried, and that's
what
made me think.
When you were crying, did the woman call you a pussy and hang up on you?
No, she did, but she also couldn't help me and gave me a different phone number to come and talk to somebody else.
Oh, my God.
So anyway.
You need to be checked out.
Something's wrong with that.
Yeah. It was very sad. It was
where Bean acts like he knows what it's like to be a human.
But he does,
and you can tell by the story, he's not quite sure why humans cry or what makes them cry.
I told you why I cried, but I also...
Sometimes water comes out of their eyes. I should do it here, maybe. Maybe I'll be right. I'll take a shot.
And then I started thinking, as I was crying, this doesn't ever happen to me. When was the last time I cried? And I think it was when Reagan got shot. I think that may have been the last time. So it has been a while.
What? It's been
a while. All right, you've heard our stories. Tell us, men, when have you cried? We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin. We are going to spin the wheel of bad animal voices coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we are talking to guys, male listeners only this time, who ordinarily don't cry at such things, but every once in a while just runs away with you. There's nothing you can do. Tears start flowing. You can't help it.
Yeah.
We want to find out what it was that made you cry. 1-800-520-1067. Let's, why don't we squeeze in, wow, look at this.
Let's start with Charles.
Okay.
He's got a good one. Hey, Charles.
Right. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Charles.
Hey.
So I was mowing my lawn about 2 days ago. I mean, I'm in college right now. I live with my grandparents. Uh-huh. And I thought I ran over what I thought was a tennis ball.
Right, right.
But it turned out to be a lizard, and
that's still cool.
Went to the backyard to grab the shovel to remove decapitated lizard from front yard.
Decapitated lizard, by the way, is that's opening a up band. A weenie roast. They're going to be great.
And it couldn't help but to squeeze out a few tears, you know.
Because of
the guy, didn't have
I would have.
You cried for the lizard.
You cried for a lizard.
It was everywhere.
I don't know that I would cry, but I would be super sad that I inadvertently killed something that I didn't mean to.
But it was a lizard.
Yeah, but it's not a lizard's fault.
It wouldn't have been so bad had it not been so graphic. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Eddie on line 4. I can't understand this call. Eddie, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. When's the last time you cried, dude?
How's it going? I cried the last episode of season finale of Desperate Housewives.
Did your partner hold you during it?
Yeah, well, before I, you know, I get into it, that's because I'm gay, so I have to follow that show or whatever.
But, okay, all right.
The part where Gabby was helping one of the housewives, the Italian housewives.
It doesn't matter what you tell us. None of us know. We know nothing about that show. So
that means nothing to us. But it was super emotional, and you cried.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We should have said, thank you, Eddie, so much for the call. I'm glad you didn't. Thanks for listening. We should have said, obviously, gay guys don't call. You cry at everything.
I see how you are. Don't ask, don't tell when it comes to the crying
story. No, but I'm serious. I'm serious. It's no surprise if a gay guy cries at a TV show, right?
They are given a little bit more latitude, I think, when it comes to crying than us straight guys are.
Yeah. Let's try Mike, line 6. Mike is calling into the Kevin Beach Show. Mike, when was the last time you cried, dude?
Well, you know, I'm a beer lover, and I flew off from California to Indiana to get a beer that's released one day a year.
What?
There's a beer released one day
There's
a year.
There's a beer that's released one day per year in Indiana.
It's called Three Floyds Dark Lord Imperial Stout.
Okay.
And waited 3 hours in line, got 2 bottles, and I started tearing up.
You started to cry
because
you scored some beer.
That's really odd.
I thought Bean's story was strange.
Yeah, I mean, even you love the beer.
Why, I love it.
Why do you cry, though?
He was so happy.
It took me so long to get it. The fright, the wait.
So you were crying at the waste of time.
No, he was at the end of a long journey for him, Kevin.
I'm sorry to tear up right now just thinking about it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, Indiana Jones didn't tear up when he found the lost ark, but you teared up when you got to Indiana and some beer.
Wow. Ours don't sound so bad now. How about Rick? How about Rick?
We could. Okay.
How about Rick?
All right. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
All right. The last time I cried is pretty embarrassing. I was on a ship heading to go fight in Iraq, and this was when the Raiders were in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, they lost against Tampa Bay, and I cried myself to sleep that night.
Wow.
Wow.
And you were surrounded by real men.
Yeah, a bunch of Marines.
Oh, no. That must have been embarrassing.
Did you? Were you able to hide it from them?
They heard me whimpering in my rack.
Oh, that's not what you want.
Poor guy.
That's
poor
not what
guy.
You want. Yeah, and they've funny. Never let you forget it, right?
Never, and it's not funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
It is pretty funny, Rick. Thanks for the call.
Wow. That's not the group you want to cry in front of, I don't
think.
No,
it's not.
The Marines, necessarily.
They're going out to fight a war, and you're crying about a football game.
Dear Kevin and Bean, you guys are studs. This email says, Heroes among radio personalities, you managed to sexually harass two women at once, and you did it on the air with many thousands of witnesses listening. Of course, I'm talking about making Lisa Mae Motorboat Miss Cleo.
That was not sexually harassing. They enjoyed it.
They volunteered. They wanted to do it.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it went.
That's how it happened. I can't hear you.
I write this with a little tear in my eye. Daniel also writes in, I listened to your podcast and I just heard the motorboat bit with Lisa and Cleo. I just wanted to know that now you guys have made it. The Kevin and Bean Show has officially peaked. I'm scared you may never be able to top that moment. Thank you, and I still have a boner, says Daniel.
Wow.
You can see the video of Miss Cleo being motorboated by Lisa Mae. It is up at kevinandbean.com. Not only can you see it, you must see it.
You had a hell of a day to miss yesterday, didn't
you? You did.
Yeah.
You also go to kevinandbean.com and you can see the Kung Fu Bear. Which we're very excited to add to the wheel of bad animal voices.
Look, I love this bear.
Hurricane
it's
Jim.
A great video, but I'm saying we don't need to do this particular segment.
Kevin, don't bother reading what else is on the wheel when you've already told people we're going to be calling the Kung Fu Bear.
Was that supposed to? I said that last.
Usually you
say
yeah,
you're
animal,
supposed to save that to the end.
And then you talk about where you saw the animal.
Just play the damn intro so Ralph can go in the other room.
It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No, no.
Can't imagine.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Look, it landed on the Kung Fu Bear. What a surprise that is.
What a surprise. And what a surprise. The video is up on our website.
You've got to start coming to the planning meetings, Kevin.
Listen
That's all
to me.
Doing.
This bear does kung fu moves that will scare the hell out of you.
Here's what happened. A guy, a tourist, is visiting a zoo in Japan, right?
Hey!
Yes.
And he sees this bear that's playing with a stick. And he puts this video up on YouTube of this bear doing unbelievable, the kind of kung fu moves that you see the experts do where they throw the staff up in the air and catch it and twirl it around and put it behind their back.
Nunchucks and stuff. I mean, this bear is trained.
It is amazing.
Must be, yeah.
Well, they asked an animal behavior expert from the University of Colorado. He says it does look genuine. He says this is an amazing example of animal object control. This goes beyond normal animal usage of complex tools. But then again, you can train seals to balance balls on their noses, train elephants to point with the trunk, so why not this? Somebody is theorizing that maybe – you don't have to spin the wheel. We've already designed it. Somebody is theorizing that maybe he was just bored, didn't have much to do, so he learned these tricks. So we thought, hey, let's find out more about this. And I believe we have a representative on the phone with us from the zoo in Japan right now, the Asa Zoo in Hiroshima, Japan. Hello, can you hear us?
Hey, round eye, how you go?
We go well.
Wait, hold on. Is this the bear?
You got that right, round eye.
Well, Quad.
How's the economy doing?
not so good, actually, right now, Quad. So, Claude, are you aware that you are an international internet sensation now since your video has been uploaded to YouTube?
Yes, I know I am, because I am popular. The world's most dangerous bear. Most bears just attack you with claw and tooth.
Right, and they can rip people apart. I don't know why you need to teach yourself kung fu moves.
Because I like to play with my food before I eat it.
Oh, okay.
I take my deadly kung fu skill, and I beat you up first, and then I kill you.
Well, it is a very impressive skill to add to your arsenal as a bear. I mean, usually you don't see a bear learn kung fu. I will say that's true.
That's true, but you have to keep in mind where I'm from.
You're from Asia?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But also more so Hiroshima.
Oh, I
right?
see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Radiation has turned me into super bear.
Oh, oh no. No.
Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
I got to tell you, when we first started watching this video, it looked like you were just, you know, toying with it because you're going to eat it. But then when you went into the moves, like a half a minute in, you started throwing it in the air and catching it.
Hold on. Time out. You thought I was going to eat the stick?
I was wondering about that too, Claude.
What kind of fans you hanging out with?
Hang on. Okay. Let's see what lands on.
Eat sticks, okay? That's the first rule of bands you need to know.
It looks like you were just playing with it, but then as the video goes on, you do have kung fu skills, which is very scary.
I do. I have crazy kung fu skills.
Have you used your kung fu skills on any other animals or humans?
Yes.
Okay.
I recently beat the crap out of a sloth.
A sloth?
Yes.
Oh, that's just mean, because they can't defend themselves.
I know. That's why it's so funny.
But you don't need kung fu moves to do that.
I know I don't, but it helps because they stay in one place. That's how I get so good with practice.
I see.
Okay.
Next, I'm going to take on a llama.
A llama?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Ooh, I don't know why you would do that.
Spiritual.
They spit.
He is the Dalai Lama.
No, don't do that. Come on. Good idea.
Put it in
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Heading toward the weekend. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I'd like to give away some tickets to a very special advanced screening of a little film I like to call Get Him to the Greek.
Why do you call it that, Ralph?
Because that's the name of the movie. No. It's Jonah Hill, Russell Brand, P. Diddy Diddy Do Diddy Daddy Do Diddy Diddy. It's also in it.
Jonah was here yesterday.
Kanye's in it. Which one?
No, it's P. Diddy.
It's P. Diddy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know much about the movie, obviously, but I know it's funny. I know that much. I know Russell Brand gets drunk driving a little kiddie car naked. He goes, look, I'm a motorist. That makes me laugh. It'll make you laugh, too. It's the advanced screening before anyone else gets to see it. You get to see it if you're one of the first five callers to get through right now. 1-800-520-1067 is all you need to know. Get through the first five callers, and you get a pair of tickets. It's just that simple.
Had Jonah Hill was great yesterday, Ralph. You would have very much enjoyed it. First of all, he seems like a real honest, down-to-earth guy. And he said, look, I don't promote movies that I don't believe in. And this one is really, really funny. And that's why I'm here today.
Secondly,
he is opposite Brad Pitt in Moneyball. That's the movie that he's in preparations for right now. Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt together starring in Moneyball.
Moneyball.
How crazy is that?
What kind of movie is that?
That's the one about... It's what about the guy who figured out the baseball stats and how to sign players, Oakland A's and everything? Yeah, he's playing Paul DePodesta. It's just so crazy what his career has been like, but what a cool dude. I really enjoyed him yesterday.
Speaking of P. Diddy, who is in that film, this is a scary, scary story. Just when I thought they couldn't make me not watch American Idol anymore.
Right.
P. Diddy apparently looking to replace Simon Cowell in American Idol.
Yes. Yes, please. I would watch.
I wouldn't.
Because I hate him so much, and he would be so bad.
Yeah, but that'd be a lot of annoying every week. I couldn't take that.
No, you watch clips.
One thing to go to like a YouTube and see a little clip of him being all pompous and whatnot, but to have him just pontificate on a weekly basis about music twice a week?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Couldn't do it.
Are you not entertained?
I would not
be. Are you not entertained?
I would not be entertained by you. So now they're in talks, apparently, to see if he wants to do it or not. I can't imagine how much money they'll have to pay him to get him there, but
I don't know who the right person is for that job. It's definitely not Diddy.
They got the money to spend though. They offered Elton John, from what I understand, $33 million.
Oh my God!
And he said no thanks.
Who is there? Anyone on your wish list, Ralph? Someone you think that would make a difference?
I think anyone they would cast that I'd be interested in would be cast for all the wrong reasons, because they're kind of looking for somebody who's going to be controversial and insult people and kind of take up Simon Cowell's mantle of being the instigator.
Right.
But most of those people don't know anything about music, so I think they'd be bad judges. Simon Cowell was a unique combination of a guy who worked in the music industry for years and also happened to be acerbic, so he was a good fit. But I don't know. I don't know anybody who fills that role.
Don Imus, would you be interested? Is that something you could see yourself doing, perhaps?
I'm trying to go to the Imus Ranch.
You're not even trying, Mike.
No one knows who that is anyway, so.
Nope. There was a fail on both levels.
File. It was a strange
file.
It was West.
That was an alley-oop fail right there.
But Mike didn't break to the basket.
Usually he hits the gates, but he
didn't break
to
the basket. Bean just threw the ball up there and made him jump.
that was sad for everyone, most of all the listeners. Warner Brothers has announced that Sherlock Holmes 2 will be in theaters mid-December 2011. So about a year and a half from now, Sherlock Holmes 2 is in the works.
Put that in my calendar.
According to Hollywood Reporter, they've also announced that they are giving the green light to a movie about another beloved comic book character. This time it's DC Comics' The Flash.
Ooh, I love The Flash.
World's fastest man, Kevin. The Flash.
That's his strength, is that he runs fast?
He's the world's fastest man.
Okay, but I mean, does he fight crime?
Yes.
Wait, but no. does that mean he runs fast?
No, he just goes out for coffee for people because he's the world's fastest man.
That's all he does is run fast?
He also can vibrate his molecules at such a speed that he can pass through solid objects.
Okay, now you're talking.
How about that? He can move his arms so quickly that he can create vortexes of wind and whatnot to knock you off your feet with the power of air.
Have you ever listened to yourself?
I try not to.
You're so excited.
I avoided it every possibility. The Flash kicks ass.
No, the Flash is the real deal. He is awesome.
I love the Flash. Police scientist Barry Allen, who was struck by lightning in mixture with a large amount of chemicals,
of course,
which combined to turn him into the world's fastest man.
That's how
now
it always happens.
Now he taps into the Speed Force, Kevin.
Right.
Carries his costume around in a ring. It's compacted into his ring, and when it flips open, the costume comes out and he changes into it super fast.
Dork!
How cool is that?
What am I, a nerd?
You people don't know. You don't know.
You're right.
Gene Simmons will not be charged with allegedly attacking a couple at a shopping mall here in Los Angeles. Nathan Marlowe and his wife Cynthia Monzo say that Gene Simmons attacked them at the Grove here in L.A. last December.
What?
The couple claims that Gene choked both of them. Then took their video camera after they started filming him and shoved the camera in Nathan's face. Nathan says he feared for his own safety as well as for his family's. However, the DA's office has looked over the evidence and have decided it's not enough evidence to charge Gene Simmons with battery, so he will not have any charges leveled against him.
Huh.
Gene, are you happy that's not happening?
Of course. I would never think to choke anybody.
Yeah.
Except for maybe you, Lisa, man. Uh-huh. I'd like to choke you with something.
Yes. I understand.
Yeah. CB, that's how it's done.
That was solid. Well,
no, that was good.
Don Imus, would you like to host American Idol?
Longtime radio host.
In New York. Don't try.
Acerbic.
Do not
in the music
try.
Industry.
Don't
I thought
try.
Maybe there's something there.
Do
I thought
not
there
try.
Give, at least Mike has something to work with.
Do not try.
That's in the file, dude.
All right. I accept your score.
And speaking of American Idol, apparently Ricky Minor, who was the band leader of that show for many, many years, is cheesed off that while everyone was slapping Simon Cowell on the back and wishing him well and saying goodbye, no one even thought to mention the fact that he is leaving the show as well after 6 years of crafting the music that those kids karaoke to. He's going over to The Tonight Show, where he will be the band leader for Jay Leno. But neither the producers, nor Ryan Seacrest, nor no one connected to the show thought during the finale to maybe say, hey, thanks to Ricky Minor for all his hard work.
That's pretty crappy.
That would have been nice.
Even though he, an integral part of the show, but for the viewer, very much behind the scenes. But still, he deserved an acknowledgement.
Yeah. Look, if they could trot out the two Bee Gees that are still alive, they could have carved out 30 seconds to thank Ricky Minor. The Bee Gees.
It seems like that show in particular, there would have been plenty of opportunities and time.
Lots of time.
It was nothing but filler.
Maybe they could have cut the Dane Cook comedy song a little shorter and worked in some Ricky thanks there.
We didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday, Kevin, but one of the failed contestants from the past was part of that Dane Cook comedy sketch who grabbed the mic and ran with it, and they ended up having to bail on the skit and go to commercials because they couldn't get this mic away from the skit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was hideous on every level, that show.
That's
by the
great.
Way, I know what happened to the third BG.
What?
Barry Gibb ate him.
Is that right?
Wow.
Barry's gained some pounds.
Barry
yeah.
is huge. All right. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Don Fogerty. Not John Fogerty, but Don.
Don's his brother.
His equally talented brother who never got his just desserts, in my opinion. John Fogerty is 65 years old today. Kylie Minogue is 42.
Oh, my God.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View turns 33 years old today. Actress Monica Keena from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared is 31. Carrie Mulligan from An Education and soon to be seen in Wall Street 2 by Oliver Stone. She is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I had a rare treat last weekend. Last Saturday, Kevin, I had lunch in downtown Seattle with Adam Carolla.
What?
Now That doesn't happen very often. Adam Carolla in Seattle having lunch. I said, Ace Man, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, you know, I sold out 6 comedy shows this weekend.
Wow.
Boy, it's blowing up. Boy, it's nationwide. Ace, how are you, man?
But see, here's the thing. Smart people sell out one 1,200-seat venue once,
right.
Not a 200-seat venue 6 times.
It is a lot more work for you.
Yeah,
really good point.
Your first show average, I sold out a phone booth 28 times. Better off just to play. play a van, for instance, and make all the money. See, Joel McHale goes down there, plays one event, comes home. I do six events.
Well, you're learning. You're learning as you go.
Yes.
Well, you got to see Adam Carolla on stage. He tapes his podcast live in front of a paying audience, and he's got a bunch of shows coming up. You can get details at adamcarolla.com with an appearance in Thousand Oaks, also in North Hollywood. Then you're moving on to Chicago. It's all there, adamcarolla.com, and keep up with all of his many podcasts. Right now, though, the Ace Man is here, as he is every Friday, to join us for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, start with three, work our way down to number one, and I'll just tantalize you all. Number one has something to do with my trip out to Seattle.
No, all right.
Oh.
Although, Bean, you escaped my my wrath. Although, it was confusing. I got to be honest. So sorry. I'll get to this in a second.
All right.
Bean, I assumed I hadn't seen you in a while, hadn't been over the house in a while, and then at a certain point you started saying that Donna and the kids were coming by, and about the 55th time you mentioned the kids, I thought, well, maybe this man has had a little sanity introduced into his life, and he's made himself some kids, or he bought himself some kids.
No, you knew better, Adam.
And got some. I knew better when the puppies and the pigs and everything else showed up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you. I guess I should have translated. I'm sorry about that.
Don't call them kids in front of other adults. It confuses them.
They are. Here's the thing about that: technically, not kids.
No, well, I understand.
Okay. Right, and then it's confusing because then you go, well, I had to put one of the kids down. I got to go out and crap one of the kids. The neighbor tried to poison one of the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's confusing for everyone all around. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna make a note. That's good advice. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.
You don't have to call them food like me and Kevin, but don't call them kids.
Okay.
In between.
That's fair.
All right.
Sorry, where was I?
You were at number three, beginning.
Number three, yes. I don't know if you guys have seen the promo for the America's Got Talent, but the guy, the freak show guy with the earrings and everything's putting the auger bit through his nose at the end of the cordless electric Makita.
Right.
Listen, people, I'm trying to eat. How many times do I have to say this? It's 7:30 at night. You couldn't show a booby at 7:30 at night, but you got a guy putting an auger bit through his nasal cavity. Listen. I don't want to see it, and I don't watch a show for that reason, but I can't avoid it if I'm watching the news or Entertainment Tonight, and it pops up. I'm just saying that somebody has to check these goddamn promos, whether it's the Biggest Loser and the 1,100-pound guy on the scale with the huge nipples and the shirt off wearing the underoos.
Sure.
Or the or how about this one, like next on Access Hollywood, liposuction disasters. And before you know it, you're just seeing some blob on the table and the guy shoving a hose into his ass. And it's like, I'm eating. I don't want to see any flesh with Sharpie stipples on it while I'm eating. I don't want to see any flesh that a guy's drawn on with a Sharpie, doctor or not, while I'm eating. Or, it's Dr. Oz, it's a 200-pound tumor.
Yeah.
Knock it off. It's 7 at night.
Yeah.
Somebody, we need some sort of sanctioning body. All right, number two, was at the movies last night. Had a funny experience. Yesterday was my birthday, and I insisted that everyone see Sex in the City 2 with me. And I also insisted Kimmel go. And then when we walked out of the theater, there was a guy from TMZ waiting there for us. I want to know why the guys from The Man Show went and saw Sex in the City the night it opened. So we can look forward to that.
Good.
He was very excited. But let me just say this. I had one of these people sitting behind me at the theater, and the same person I had sitting behind me on the air flight in and back from Seattle, where they use the back of your chair like a chin-up bar.
Yeah.
You know that move where, hey, I'm going to, like, you're not sitting on the toilet and I'm not a towel bar. Do not touch my chair to aid you getting onto your feet. And by the way, how old and decrepit do you have to be to actually grab onto the guy's chair in front of you and start pulling it? And do you think he's not going to notice?
Yeah.
Amen. It happens to me on every single flight. Listen, my spine is touching the chair and my spine is also touching my brain. And it registers when you use it to lift your fat ass off your seat. By the way, there's one guy on the plane you don't want to piss off, and that's the person sitting directly in front of you.
Yeah, true.
And the theater, too. Stop making contact with that. Shouldn't that be a no-fly zone? What's up with everyone?
I think I'm with you on that.
Are they just getting too fat or too lazy?
I'm thinking fat.
I think if you can't sit down in a movie theater without the aid of holding on to the chair in front of you, you're too fat.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that you're going to use it to help yourself rock yourself off the chair, too. Like, up, here I go. No more caramel corn. Here we go.
Wish me luck.
I feel it. Stop it. There's people like kick their feet up against it.
Sure.
And just mash up against it. Just knock it off. Don't touch the back of my chair.
All right.
Number one, and this is getting back to my flight. I flew Alaskan Airlines out to Seattle. I don't know how else you get out there. But I was in the airport, and I was staring at the tail of the plane, and I saw their mascot, big, fat Eskimo.
Right.
And I
right.
thought, is there any culture that says we don't fly like the Eskimos? They burrow into the soil. Do they not? They dig holes in the snow.
Yeah.
They're a husky, grounded people. Hey, salt of the earth, don't get me wrong. Many Eskimo friends.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
not flyers.
Not like think. All right, close your eyes and think of all the great Eskimo aviators over the last 100 years.
Well,
it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yeah,
all the great Eskimo aces from World War II.
Sure,
it never ends. I'm just saying, like, how about a flightless bird, like an ostrich or something? At least it's a bird. You have a fat guy wearing a pelt on your plane.
Who's never flown before in his life.
Never. I don't think Eskimo's ever been higher than 3 inches off the ground. They're burrowing people. Come up with something else. They have eagles in Alaska, do they not?
Yes, they
do.
Well, go ahead and toss that on your plane.
See? Once again, Adam Carolla has all the answers. It's just a question of the right people asking the questions. Don't miss him on stage Friday, June 11th at the Borderline Thousand Oaks, the following night at the El Portal in North Hollywood, then on to Chicago. All the details and podcasts available 24/7 at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend, Ace Man, and happy birthday belatedly, my friend.
Give my love to the kids.
All I know is I remember a young man named Kevin Ryder who was so pissed when Ron Artest was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers and said, I hate that guy. And we said, Kevin, he's going to be a Laker. You're going to have to start rooting for him. And you said, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't.
How you like him now?
Well, that depends on when you talk to me. Did you talk to me at 51 seconds when he took that shot? I was screaming at him, what would make you shoot that shot? Oh, it was so ill-advised.
Yeah.
Talking about Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals in the NBA, Lakers versus Los Suns last night. And for folks who don't follow basketball, you don't have to shoot the ball when you get it in your hands, especially if you've got a lead in the final minute of the game. You eat up as much of the clock as you can. You certainly don't throw something up that's going to miss and maybe give the other team an opportunity to come back and tie the game.
So we have a brand new 24-second clock. We can run off 24 seconds of the 50. We can run that off before anything happens.
Right.
And Ron Artest gets the ball and just guns it and misses poorly.
Wow.
Could have lost the game for us very easily, and I was screaming at him.
So Phoenix does come back, and unbelievably, by the way, with an amazing shot, managed
lucky.
To tie the thing up with 3.5 seconds left at 101 to 101. And then I think we've got the play-by-play to
yes.
pick up the action then.
And then what happens, we'll have to explain it to you afterwards because it's difficult to hear, but Ron Artest kind of made up for it.
Odom will throw in. Bryant and comes up short. Artest.
Ron Artest, who took that bad shot just a moment ago. Ron Artest with the game winner for the Lakers.
So Kobe came up short, and Ron Artest ran up, grabbed it with like a second to go, and put it up off the backboard and in and won the game.
Wow.
Which made the difference between him being killed
yes.
in the locker room and him being celebrated in the locker room. Talk about redemption. Unbelievable that the guy who almost lost the game for the Lakers, and what a crucial game it is, too, by
yeah.
the way. Was the guy who ended up saving it for him. It was unbelievable. So then everybody was asking the same question, not just Kevin at home screaming at his TV, but everybody at Staples Center was screaming, no, when he made that first shot.
Yeah.
What's going through your head? Why do you do that? And your guy with the coat, what's his name? Sager?
Craig Sager with the
Craig Sager
oh,
with
I'm a with wild, wild sportscaster. I wear a pink jacket.
He does wear clothes that look like Doc Rivers threw up on him,
seriously.
By the way, is what he looks like.
Come on.
So he's there, and he asks the question on everybody's mind.
First of all, talk about redemption.
What were you thinking when you put up that shot when you guys had a chance to run out the clock?
Well, you know, let's play basketball. I mean, there's a point in time where I shot 40% from the three.
By the way, that doesn't matter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In this case, don't take the shot.
Just play basketball, by the way. It doesn't work either because playing basketball requires that you understand you have a 24-second clock and there's only 51 left in the game.
Right.
Exactly. And he will go on and continue to try to answer. Nothing that he says makes any sense, though, as to why you would take that shot. And in the similar situation, I hope he has learned his lesson and wouldn't do the same thing again. But, again, he's run our test, so who knows?
I got to play, you know, and still try to get to the hole. You know, I hit shots before. It just didn't fall today, so that's the thing about the playoffs. You know, you keep playing, and you never know when that big game going to come. So I'm just going to continue to play, see what happens.
Okay, a lot of words there.
Yep.
Not very responsive to the question, which is, wow, what a major mental error you made, Ron Artest, which doesn't really matter in retrospect, let's face it.
Well, no,
because they won the game.
It certainly could have lost them the game. And, by the way, the series... Because if Phoenix would have won that one, they would have been up 3-2.
Yeah.
And then going back home.
So yeah, that would have made all the difference in the world.
More with Ron Artest talking to a guy in a pink coat after the game.
That's the way you keep talking about playing in the playground. But here in the NBA, there's a 24-second clock, and you could have run
still
it out.
Got to play. You could have ran it out.
See, the announcer gives him the opportunity to go, all right, I asked you the question once. You didn't give me a reasonable answer. I'm going to give you another opportunity to explain why you ignored the shot clock.
But he still got to play basketball. I try to, you know, break their back a little bit. You know, that's why we play defense. You know, we still just got to play basketball. You got to be able to play. You know, through all that, through everybody saying, don't shoot, you still got to be able to focus.
All right, and here's what we love about Ron Artest and why he's crazy, but he also is awesome if he's playing for your team, is that what he tries to get Sager to say, it's hilarious.
All right, unlike me here.
Queensbridge in the building, you already know. You'll say Queensbridge.
Queensbridge.
Yeah.
Queensbridge, where they don't play with a shot clock.
Queensbridge is the housing development. By the way, I think I heard last night that it's the largest public housing development in the country. 7,000 people live in it.
Wow.
And it's in Long Island, and Long Island City, I should say, and he wanted to get a shout out. He wanted to force the announcer to give a shout out to his, you know, public housing development where he grew up on the playgrounds playing basketball. Say Queensbridge. I'm not letting you go until you say Queensbridge. Say it, damn it, say it.
What's wrong with him?
He's crazy. Oh. But that's why he's awesome.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:42.
Woo!
The only thing standing between us and singing Don't Bogart This Joint is that guy right there, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
I'm taking as much time as I want. Ooh. Try and stop me.
All right.
Sad news. Gets worse. I was talking this morning, about Gary Coleman being in critical care after his fall at his home on Wednesday. Apparently, it's worse than we even knew earlier today. He is on life support.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, he is unconscious. He's been intubated. He is on life support after suffering an intracranial hemorrhage at his home from the fall. So... because of his unstable condition, they can't perform any surgery to stop the bleed.
Wow.
He has been slipping in and out of consciousness, apparently, since the accident. Now his condition has worsened, so... sad news.
Yeah.
He suffers from seizures, apparently. I think maybe that's what led to his fall.
Yeah.
So we won't know until later how he's doing, but no matter how you think about Gary Coleman, you wouldn't want to see the guy...
No, the dude was dealt a tough hand with his with his health problems from the time he was a little kid, and it has not gotten any better for him as an adult. That's for sure.
And I'll tell you something: as far as child stars go, you never hear about him having drug problems or any of that kind of stuff. You know, he's had some anger management issues.
But right.
Other than that, he seems to have tried to keep his life as together as possible. So, it's a tough time for him.
He couldn't have fallen that far either. I mean, when you think about it,
see,
he's so close to the ground.
It's
what? I'm just
a short joke.
A poof. That's what I meant to hit. Sorry about that. Dane Cook was on the American Idol finale on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, rather. And Bean mentioned earlier today, there was a moment where they brought out all the sort of freaks from the American Idol auditions, all the weirdos,
right?
You know, and had them storm the stage as they were paying tribute to the things that Simon Cowell had said about them during Dane Cook's hilarious musical comedy song, Simon Says. Well, one of them, Ian Bernardo, grabbed the microphone
a la Kanye West from Taylor Swift and just started screaming into it. Took the mic away from Taylor, from Dane Cook, and just started to talk into it.
Is that person crazy?
Yeah, he's crazy.
Okay.
He is a very flamboyant gay man who Simon came down on during one of the auditions, and so he grabbed the microphone to get sort of some payback.
Oh, I see.
Saying, this is all about me tonight, and no one cares about Simon Cowell, and I'm going to take over and be the next judge because I got more talent than you, Simon.
Great.
And he was going on and on and on, but he took the microphone away from Dane Cook at the time in order to get that message
out. So we're on his side.
And then American Idol cut to commercial because they were embarrassed by what he was doing.
And then crazy Tatiana was out on the stage. And yes. She was supposed to have the mic handed off to her, and then he just turned and just ran with it and just kind of left her out there hanging.
Well, Dane Cook now is giving us his side of the story via Twitter. He says, that was not staged. Weirdo hijacked my song. Just glad he didn't hit me in the face with the mic, or American Idol would be American Beatdown.
There's our boy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right. That's right, Dane Cook. All you jabronis out there.
Really?
Shut up. Just shut up.
American beatdown.
American
really?
Beatdown.
Really?
That's just embarrassing.
You know what? America was already beat down by your unfunny song.
Wow.
What an ass.
Wow.
And we've been talking since the finale about what's going to happen with the cast of Lost. We mentioned that Evangeline Lilly may or may not continue her writing career. We know she's going to do at least another movie she's been signed up for, but said she wants to be a writer and be a mom and have a simpler life, she says in the interview with Us Weekly magazine. Matthew Fox says he doesn't want to do TV anymore, only movies. All right, tough guy. All right, we'll see what happens. That's what you said after Party of Five, Matthew. We'll see what happens. See how well that goes for you.
Hey, good luck with Speed Racer 2.
Josh Holloway says he wants to go dirt biking or fishing.
Is it long term?
All right,
I guess
then.
So. I mean, really, is
he's going on the professional dirt bike fishing circuit. And Jorge Garcia says he's moving back to L.A. and he'll figure it out once he has a couple weeks to think about it. So I wonder if those weeks will be filled with Doritos. That's all I'm wondering. Whether they will play a part.
Because he's been on such a diet on the island.
He's wasting away.
But he's in way better shape than a lot of the other actors on the show because he obviously won the lottery. So he's got money's not a concern for him.
God damn it.
What? I'm just... But he...
File.
But I...
And Paul McCartney has a sold-out concert going on in Mexico City tonight. He's decided to give back to all the fans in that city who could not get in to see him last night or tonight. He's setting up a giant movie screen in Chapultepec Plaza there in Mexico City so 10,000 people can watch him for free on the big screen.
Huh.
Which is great for those people. But how pissed are the people who paid? Oh, I can't believe it. I paid for tickets for Paul McCartney, for Pell McCartney. And now everyone's going to see it for free, but I have to pay. King of Mexico said. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Carrie Mulligan from An Education and from the soon-to-be-seen Wall Street 2 is 25 years old today. Jesse Bradford, King of Mexico, put on my list here. Star of Bring It On is 31 years old today. Brung It.
Well, I think King is in the promotion mode for, you know, he's not in a Bring It On movie. He's in a Step Up movie.
That's very different.
Can't keep him straight.
Even say that around, he'll go off. There's a big feud going on
between
Bring It On and Step It Up.
Yeah.
Is it like Star Wars versus Star Trek? Exactly. You can't mix the two together? Okay.
Monica Keener from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared is 31 years old today. The View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck turns 33. Actor Justin Kirk, so good on Weeds, he is 41 years old. Kylie Minogue is 42. Oh. And singer John Fogerty from Creedence. And also a very popular solo career. He turned 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on Tuesday morning. We have an all-new show for you. We are going to interview the director of a movie called The Winnebago Man.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is. Be more interested in. This dude just could not get his lines out and was cursing. You can see the video at kevinandbean.com. It's awesome. We are going to give away Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes. And we have Sal Masekela in studio talking about his trip for ESPN to South Africa. He's got a series that he's doing there, plus World Cup coverage. So that's coming up on Tuesday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great long weekend, everybody.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Never thought I'd say that.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
No!
Roll another one.
Is this the package we want?
just like the other one.
Girls love sex.
There's one thing to be allowed to win.
Give it up, what?
I need another hit.
Don't bogart the joint, pass it along.
That's right. Puff, puff, pass, man.
I don't know any of the terminology.
Puff, 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 pass. Pass the joint.
All right.
Roll another one.
My homie's having a bean.
Just like the other one.
No, thank you. I take it black, like my man.
Oh, you're crazy, bitch. I didn't say that, bitch.
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
What?
No.
Just pass it around.
Let's say Queensbridge. Say Queensbridge. Queensbridge, yeah.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
I'll just pass it on down. Pass it on
down. Okay, all right, okay. Enough of that racket.
Enough mingling. What's the first point of business on the agenda?
For you to stop speaking.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
And cut.
So did you like that sign off? Just made it up.
You know what I want you to do?
Yeah.
Go home, have a little lunch, lay down.
Lay down.
And then go f*** yourself. I'm done.